Justin, can you believe it's almost time?
Time for what?
The 2019 Livestream for the Cure. This is our third year hosting this amazing event with every single cent going toward cancer research.
The Cancer Research Institute funds research into immunotherapy to create a future immune to all forms of cancer.
And this amazing nonprofit organization is rated over 92% by CharityNavigator.org and puts 88 cents of every dollar toward cancer research.
Last year, thanks to an amazing team of collaborators, fans, supporters, and listeners, we raised over $5,000 in 30 hours on the air.
And this year, with your help, we're going for our biggest goal yet.
Tune in May 17th to the 19th on twitch.tv/epicfilmguys for 40 hours of amazing content as we try to reach $7,500.
For more information or to find out how you can become a part of the event, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Oh my God, it worked! Where'd you go?
I'm right here. You can't see me?
Where?
I'm invisible! I'm right here. I'm invisible!
Hey! Nice outfit, dipshit.
I might have been testing invisibility and super intelligence at the same time.
Freeman, I'm gonna come over there and beat you.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special mini-sode. This was supposed to be part of episode 187, but we could not stop talking about Jordan Peele's Us long enough to squeeze a Shazam review into the same episode. So we decided...
Shazam!
Did you... Nope, you didn't... No, you didn't transform either. See, you thought I was going to transform before.
Well, you just said it, and then I thought you were going to transform.
No.
And I was praying that this is... something that could possibly happen.
I want you guys to remember
this.
It's
so cool.
As we talk about Shazam, as we go forward, and I, of course, am Nick.
And I'm Justin. And yes, that's him, the God of Podcasts. And you should already know this man by now if you listen to the Epic Film Guys. But if it's your first time ever and you're listening to our Shazam review as the first time, this is the man, the sauce's boss.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's an honor to be on.
We love you. So I want you guys to all remember this, to frame your reviews and your thoughts about Shazam thusly. Shazam fights Lex Luthor in this movie. Because the villain in this movie, Thaddeus.
That strikes terror in your heart, the name Thad.
Sounds like he's going to like throw an ascot at you or something. But... His father is played by John Glover, who played Lionel Luthor in Smallville.
He was also the scientist in Batman and Robin who gets kissed by Poison Ivy.
That's very true. And told her he was cutting her funding and she was not having any of that. But yeah, so he is his father. So he's bald. He's a supervillain. And Lionel Luthor is his father. So I just was like, he's fighting Lex Luthor the whole time.
That was maybe intentional casting.
I love John Glover. He's amazing. He was the only reason like the early seasons of Smallville were as good as they were. So I love him. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Loy Sauce.
Yes.
Tell us what Shazam.
Shazam.
It's still not doing it, dude. Chosen. Tell us what this film is all about.
Yes, so it is about a 14-year-old foster kid named Billy Batson, who is kind of struggling. He just moved into a new foster home. He is chosen by an ancient wizard played by Jimon Hansu, and he is given the powers of Shazam. So he's still a kid at heart, but he's transformed into the body, the awesome godlike padded body of Zachary Levi or Levi. Is it Levi? Levi?
It's Levi.
It's Levi. Okay. And he has super powers. And a lot of the fun of the movie is finding out what those superpowers are, because they test to see if he can do certain powers, if he has certain powers, and if he can do certain abilities. Anyway, so it's this ultimate like wish fulfillment movie, because I'm sure if I were 14 years old and I watched this movie, I would imagine myself with the powers of a superhero like Billy Batson has in this film. So that's kind of, yeah, that's what it's all about.
There it is. That's Shazam.
Yes.
Nope.
And I'm still waiting for that lightning bolt to hit me.
Yeah, so I mean,
Saucy, I got to know off the bat, because we all saw this movie at a Fandango advanced screening that they did throughout the country, which I think was a good idea for them to do, to kind of spread the good word of mouth. They probably need it, because they're sandwiched in between Captain Marvel and Endgame, which, I mean, that's just really, really tough. It's opening the month of Endgame in the beginning of the month, so...
Well, that's why it's smart for them to do this early access thing, too, because Captain Marvel's already out. The audience that's going to see that has already seen it. And if you just leave everything to the April opening, you've only got like 3 weeks before Endgame's going to come out and just obliterate you. So get some asses in seats early and then give more people the chance to see it.
Well, the word of mouth is actually, from what I've seen, Nick, from especially DCEU fans that I'm friends with on Instagram and such, all the people that I've seen that have seen it, for the most part, have all really enjoyed it. So I think that word of mouth is really going to help the movie. But Saucy, I got to know right off the bat here, your initial thoughts on the movie.
I mentioned earlier, it's like the ultimate wish fulfillment fantasy movie. I'm sure if I were like 10... I would love this movie.
Instead of being like 13 that you are now, or?
Correct. That's correct. As a grown man who has seen many, 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 many superhero movies, I will say that this does very little to kind of rise above what we've seen in other films. It's very reminiscent of like Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man, and like we've seen this kind of story before, but it has all those elements. It's actually a really great, it's a really well-crafted screenplay. It has all of the elements, all the setup and payoff that you need in order to make a good story with likable characters and a good message about family and action and humor and everything that you would want from a movie like this. So I think all the elements are there and they all work together to create a really entertaining film. It's pretty good. Like it's good. It's solid. It's solid entertainment.
And that's what I walked away from when I said I liked this movie when I texted you last night after I saw it. It's extremely solid. It's nothing more. It's nothing less. And it doesn't need to be. And much like I was talking about on our review of Jordan Peele's Us, I feel like the general public these days is really expecting a masterpiece or a classic movie with every single one of these comic book movies. Captain Marvel, as an example, came out and... it's good. It's solid. It's not breaking the barriers of the genre, and neither is Shazam, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. It's fun. It has that childlike youth just like electrifying through its veins, and it's exactly how you'd see a superhero if you were a kid. There. And that's just what I wanted it to feel like. I am not a fan of the Shazam comics. I've never read a Shazam comic. When I was 11-ish, not 10, Brian, but 11-ish, I did have a Shazam action figure. A family member got it for me by accident, thinking it might have been Superman, maybe. I don't know. I liked the figure. It looks like Superman. And yes, the character has a lot of the same powers as Superman. But the one thing that holds this movie together for me and makes it what it is Zachary Levi, who is absolutely charming in this role. Funny. You could totally just, he's believable in it. And
I don't think the movie would work as well if it weren't for his performance. I mean, as I said, the screenplay is good, but he's just so funny and so entertaining.
And here's the thing, even though, and I'm not trying to compare or contrast with Marvel or anything, even though I loved Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, I really did. I thought she was brilliant in it. I might have been able to see three or four other actresses in that role. It's entirely possible. With this, I just can't physically visualize any other actor, like his face. Like, that's Shazam, you know what I mean? Like, he's got that dumb look on his face the whole time. He's just like this big, goofy dude. I don't know. Like, he just plays it perfectly. And I think that's what makes the movie for me. And I'm going to say this, too. They call the costume stupid in the movie. I think the costume in this movie looks great.
All right. I mean, the muscle padding is a little like Party City-esque. I liked the look of it as well. It is goofy, but that's what DC is starting to do now. Embrace the goofy. Aquaman, so goofy. This, even more so. So I think they're starting to lean into it a little bit. Just kind of like play and have fun. I'm not saying that this is the first superhero movie ever to have fun, but it is. It definitely has the winking tone that, you know, DC is starting to break.
I got to say this to Nick and see what his reaction is. It is the most fun DC movie ever.
I liked Aquaman a little bit better, but that's just me.
But I still think this has more fun in it, though. We all know how Nick felt about Aquaman.
This is played way more for laughs than Aquaman is. So I agree in that respect. Is this like the best DC movie? No.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
No. It's fine. It's very entertaining. It's very fun. I love the family, specifically Ian Chen, who's also in Fresh Off the Boat. And he's also like literally steals the show. Every scene he's in, he does the same in this movie. He's amazing. And
he's the
Faith
gamer
Herman,
kid, right?
He's a little gamer kid. Yep. And then Faith Herman as Darla is so charming.
Adorable,
and so
yeah.
cute, so wonderful. And
yeah,
like,
she's
yeah,
so cute.
Of course you want to impress her when you're, you know, her foster brother, her brother, or whatever. And I love the way that it plays against some superhero movie tropes. I mean, we've seen like there, a lot of that stuff is played for laughs, like when he's discovering his powers and stuff. And those are the more fun parts of the movie. Those are the better parts of the movie, to be honest. I'm gonna say it, and I love Mark Strong, but he just seems to just keep getting cast as villains who just get sort of the shaft. Like, his character in this film, like, I mean, he really just plays with Shazam. Like, most of the time when he's on screen, like, he could easily hand Shazam his ass at any given number of times in the film, and just arbitrarily doesn't, because the whole thing is like Shazam's got to learn his powers. He's got to understand his powers and understand to unlock his full potential and whatnot.
Well, yeah, he doesn't even learn to fly until their first fight.
Yeah, and then like it's like he could have easily handed him his ass at any of those given times, but he doesn't. He just toys with him. He just plays around with him, and it's just a waste of like. I mean, I get that he does. He has some fucking menacing ass scene. He definitely fucking ices a few people.
Oh, we'll talk about that scene. We'll talk about that scene here.
Which is great. But then it also just plays against some superhero stuff just for laughs. Like, I won't spoil specifically what it is, but there's the one scene when they're flying and he stops to give the big villain speech. Hilarious. I pissed myself.
This is not his first time being a DC villain, ladies and gentlemen.
It really pains me that we're not going to get him. We're never going to. I mean, Green Lantern was not a good movie, but we're never going to see, you know, him as Sinestro.
And you know what? He was actually good in that movie.
He was great. He was the best thing about that fucking movie.
He was fine in that movie. And he's here back playing another villain. And you know what? Like, I liked the opening of this movie. It felt different than most.
Harrowing. It was a really intense way to start the movie off. I was like, is this a comedy film? Like, I thought, because based on the opening, it's like scary. It's like heartbreaking. And
well, we can't forget that David Sandberg actually directed this movie. So,
that's right, David S. Sandberg, who did Lights Out and Annabelle Creation.
Annabelle Creation was a wonderful horror film and much better than the first Annabelle movie. So strange choice, but I loved this choice going in when I heard that he was actually going to do the movie. But no, the opening of the movie, it's Thaddeus as a kid, and he's in the car with his dad and his brother, who obviously he does not have a good relationship with. He obviously feels alone himself. He's playing with an 8-ball. Like, for those of you that are old like me, not Loy Sauce, who's 12. Back in the day, for Christmas, your parents or your uncle might get you an 8-ball when you like would shake it and ask it a question. It would answer it for you.
If your parents or your uncle don't love you, that's what they'd get you for Christmas. Let's just.
I had a magic 8-ball in my Christmas stocking one year.
Okay,
so.
All right. So we all had one for varying reasons.
No, I never had one because I would throw it at somebody if they bought me that because they're fucking stupid.
You know what, Nick?
Fucking dumb.
Nick, you hate fun, but you like Shazam for some reason. So I don't understand you, but I thought those were fun. I thought those were fun, those 8-balls, because I would sit on trips and just ask it questions constantly.
Can we talk about how just god-awful shitty the monsters in this movie looked.
Are you kidding?
God, I 100% disagree.
They're
with
fucking
you.
Terrible. They
you're
look
so wrong.
Fucking stupid. It's like PlayStation 2 era CGI.
Dude, you're,
like,
dude,
I'm watching
seriously.
A fucking PlayStation 2 cutscene. They look like fucking garbage.
Dude, they looked. Hey man, I'm gonna disagree
garbage.
With you. And this is when I get to take a jab at you for seeing the movie in a shitty theater, because I did see it in a good one, and I thought the special effects,
garbage.
I thought the CG looked great.
Garbage.
I thought the CG was perfect. We actually, just me and Noisehouse actually talked about it earlier. We were just saying how great the CGI was.
God, I fucking hated the monsters in this fucking movie.
The CGI, you know, you could argue about, but I thought the design of the monsters and the look, like
the design was nice.
The general look.
Yeah.
And the way they sounded and their voices were pretty epic.
Yeah, nice.
Justin made the observation that they sounded like the Spawn demon, right, Justin?
Yes.
What is the name of the demon in Spawn?
Malbulgia from the hit film Spawn from 1997.
I'm going to get you. You're going to run my army.
It's almost exactly every single one of the demons' voices in the movie, which is great.
But they were scary looking, and that boardroom scene.
The boardroom scene. Let's just talk about
scene
the boardroom
is great.
Scene.
It's excellent. I loved it.
And it's scary.
It's scary. It actually somewhat legitimizes him as a villain.
Yeah, no, it establishes the villain as a legitimate threat.
It legitimizes him,
to be reckoned with.
Yes, for sure. And if you're a young child watching that in the theater, you're going to probably be a little bit traumatized. Yeah. Like I was watching Spider-Man 2 and that hospital scene.
Remember.
But as Justin was saying earlier on, you do get a backstory for this villain too. At least they went through the trouble of giving the villain somewhat of a motivation and giving him.
I'd like
you know,
that it opened with his backstory. I liked that before you even get to know anything about Shazam or anything like that. Like, and there's a theme in this movie. There's definitely a huge undercurrent of really shitty parents. That's all I'll say about that. But there's a really huge undercurrent of really shitty parents, and my lord, I would grow up and want to murder the shit out of people too if I had John Glover growing up as a dad.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense as to why he is the way that he is. So
it's
I like that the movie, you know, again, well constructed screenplay, give everyone a motivation, give everyone a reason to do what they're doing.
I gotta say, the only thing that I would say that kind of didn't really work for me is that there's not necessarily a really memorable action sequence or fight scene. We actually complain about this all the time on the Epic Film Guys, where the ending scene always has to be that big battle with the big bad. And, you know, we have to see the fight through the city or wherever they are in the desert or you name it, under fucking water. Wherever, that's the end fight. That's the end of the movie. And in this movie, I kept waiting for that. And it kind of happened, but it kind of didn't at the same time. Even though I liked the action, I thought it was well done. There's not that one, as far as a repeat viewing would go.
That's a very good point, Justin, because in terms of action, it's fine. It's serviceable. But there's not really any one scene in this that I'm like, oh, I'm dying to see that again.
Like, I'd rather watch the comedic scenes, like with him going in and trying to get the beer, and then he actually gets shot by the two guys with the guns. Like, yeah, shoot me. Come on, shoot me more.
Or, him going into a strip club, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, stuff like that I'd rather watch.
As a 14-year-old boy, that's what you'd do if you suddenly had the body.
I love that the script, and you mentioned before, Loisos, a really smart screenplay, and I think that that's one of the smartest things about it, because, yeah, what 14-year-old boy who suddenly looks like an adult wouldn't be like, let's go see some titties and get free wings.
they try to get beer. And I actually like the message that they portrayed there. I actually felt it would have been wrong if they had had them drink the beer and been like, okay,
I think they
cool.
should have talked about its mouthfeel.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking, I don't know. I mean, when I was 14, I would have drank a beer. I didn't really like beer at 14. I would have probably smoked a joint instead. But, you know, there was a correct message there with having them spit the beer out and they go back in and get all the junk food or whatever. And I actually, it was just really charming. Like, that's the one thing I keep thinking when I talk about this movie is that it was just charming. And a lot of people that I have seen on social media, not necessarily hating on Shazam, but their issue with it is that it's a kid's movie, and I could totally agree with it that it's a kid's movie, but I don't see that there's anything wrong with that, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? If you're calling this a kid's movie and you just went and saw Captain Marvel, that's also kind of a kid's movie. You know, comic book characters, were originally made for kids. It only started in like the 70s, 80s, and then definitely the 90s, where comics started being for adults. And then, of course, our generation, we grew up with them. So it's part of our lives. So yes, of course, a lot of the graphic novels written in some comic book storylines are written more adult and more serious. But I mean, this is how a kid sees comic book characters and superheroes. And I love that.
I don't like
Freddy is...
It's not a movie for... He legit goes to a titty bar. It's not a...
I know, but...
It's a movie for, like, all audiences. It's not just meant for kids. And I think if you're that kind of person that's pigeonholing it like that, like, I don't like it because it's a kid. He goes to a titty bar.
Yeah?
It's like... Are you going to watch Homeward Bound and see the dog go into a doggy titty bar? That was a bad example.
I love Homeward Bound. You better keep that in. You're going to keep that in because I love Homeward Bound.
You know what I think this movie was trying to do? It was trying to capture that feel of like an 80s movie, like an Amblin movie, where like the Goonies, it's a kid's movie, but it has a lot of like racy, you know, edgy jokes and scenes in it. And I think that's what they were trying to accomplish with this. I think they kind of nailed that because, again, this is a movie, if I were like 10 and I watched it, it'd be like seeing something that, you know, was a little bit edgier for me, and I would have loved that, right? So I think that's what the movie's trying to accomplish, and I think it did it really well.
Well, I have a question for both of you. Nick, how did the audience react to the movie in your theater?
Laughed a lot. Definitely laughed
and
a lot.
And Brian?
Well, I didn't see it with the real audience, so I can't really comment on that, but everyone seemed to be enjoying it and laughing a lot, and they really enjoyed it. So
because in my screening a lot of people laughed throughout the entire movie, and my 15-year-old daughter, who Kaya, who saw it last night, as soon as the movie ended she turned to me and said, is there going to be another one? She loved it, and she really, yeah. I mean, I totally get it. So, you know, I definitely could see where it, not necessarily the movie's for kids, but it's targeted towards a more youthful audience, because that's the whole movie's about, is being that age and dealing with that. And then, as you said earlier on, Loisel, the most important part of this movie, other than Zachary Levy's fantastic performance, is the theme of family and how important it is. And I feel like this movie has a very important message, even more so than a lot of the Marvel movies.
Well, and it's not even like just family. It's about found families too, like families that aren't even necessarily your own. Having the movie centered on a foster kid and finding himself in his foster home.
Like,
and
family is more than blood. Family is more than blood, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what the movie is trying to convey. And it's a really sweet, heartwarming message, I feel like. And not something that we really get in a lot of superhero movies, so...
Yeah, it's really, really nice. I really, really enjoyed that aspect of it as well. Like I said, the family is, like, even the mom and the dad are both great. Absolutely love them. They're both so warm. I want to go live at their house because they're both such warm and kind of wonderful, inviting characters and everything. There's a couple things I want to look at really, really quickly. Just a kind of yay or nay. Did it or didn't it work for you? Like, revolving door of nicknames. Did you enjoy it, or did it get old for you?
I love the fact that you have a superhero movie where you can't say the superhero's name. Like, the superhero can't say his own name. Or, you know, he can, but, you know, his identity would be revealed. And, like, I found that to be kind of a funny idea. Some of the names worked for me as being funny, and some didn't.
Sparkle Fingers or whatever.
Sparkle Fingers, yeah. Captain good. Sparkle Fingers. Like, it was
spoiler
cute.
Alert, you know, that's what Bella calls Edward in Twilight. Sparkle Fingers.
Ah.
I liked it. I thought it was charming. I thought it was funny. It didn't really get too old for me or anything like that. I guess the more it went on, I just kind of got numb to it a little bit. But I will say this much, though. Even though you probably don't agree with me, Nick, I actually like the fact that the superhero, all he has to do is say his name and change. I'm like, this is the easiest that a superhero ever has to put any kind of effort into changing his costume. Batman has to go put on the bat suit. That probably, look, you seen that suit? That probably takes 10 minutes to do. Superman, he has to rip his fucking clothes off. He ruins the whole outfit. This dude just needs to go in an alley and go Shazam, and he's, you know what I mean? That's it. That's all he has to do.
We won't spoil. Obviously, Freddy.
Oh, we won't?
Shut up. The DCEU is obviously... this movie is very self-referential to the
DCEU.
We
have to talk about it, Nick.
Freddy wears all the different shirts for all the different, like, DCEU
Aquaman,
characters.
Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman.
But the end credits sequence in this film, it's a whole bunch of hand-drawn, like, pencil-style animations and stuff. is hilarious. It's amazing.
That was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
One of my favorite parts as well. I absolutely adored it. It was great, but you really have to just kind of see it to believe it. Another one of my favorite things in this movie, Santa. I love
the newscast.
Were we supposed to know who that was? Was that a cameo of some sort?
I don't know if that was a cameo.
They dwelled on that for a really long time.
I just loved the repeated callback to Santa. I loved it. I loved all the scenes he was in. I loved that they just kind of kept that gag going. Like, they would just keep bringing him back to do different stuff. Hilarious.
I guess. I didn't know who that was supposed to be. If we were supposed to, like, if that was a cameo.
To be someone you were supposed
they,
to
they really did
it,
spend
you know
a lot of time on
the
Santa character.
It's
and I'm
fucking
like,
Santa Claus.
They captured it's this. Santa. This is one of the first ever. Well, not first ever. I would say this is one of the first times we've seen in a long time where the Christmas season is an important part of the story, because it deals with family and how important family is during the season. As we see at the end of the movie, when the Foster family is together and you can see they're in unison and celebrating the holiday. And I actually loved the setting of Philadelphia in this movie and seeing it during Christmas. So I feel like
very Joe Dante.
Maybe they were definitely trying to harken back to those old Christmas movies of the 80s and 90s a little bit, so that maybe this would be that one superhero movie that you watch during the Christmas season. It's entirely possible. Everyone that listens to our show already knows that every year I watch Batman Returns. It's a Christmas movie to me. And for our show, we all agree that it's a Christmas movie. But maybe they're trying to do something new with that.
Batman Returns is an infinitely better film than Shazam. I'll say that.
Well, we're not comparing Batman Returns with Shazam, boy. That's not even possible. I'm saying that I'm only comparing them in the sense that they both take place at Christmas and they're both Christmas related movies.
I understand.
Gee willikers.
So should we? I don't know. Do we want to rate it?
I don't. Why not?
I'm just like I'm kind of.
You're just ambivalent.
All my excitement for talking about it has petered out, much as my excitement watching the film did. There's a certain point in this film, and I think it's probably roughly around the time that Shazam starts clashing with Thad, that it just starts to get really draggy. Like it's so punchy, it's so funny, it has so many vibrant, just great scenes, but then the movie has to superhero movie, and once it gets to those parts where it has to just do its superhero movie thing, it really drags its heels. Thad is
It's over 2 hours long. Like,
yeah, it's like way too long. And Thad, I mean, like I said, you have the great boardroom scene, which is excellent, really legitimizes him as a villain, and then he might as well be Ronan the Accuser, because he does fucking nothing the rest of the movie. He, like, literally his whole goal, once he finds out that the champion has been chosen, is to get Shazam. Like, that's what he wants to do, is get Shazam. So he just fucks around the whole fucking time and doesn't do shit at all. Like, he menaces him. I'm gonna get you. Like, makes quippy insults like a bad guy would make and stuff, and then just never the fuck does anything. Completely pisses away all that good character work I felt that they did with him. He becomes really generic superhero movie bad guy at that point, and like I said, the film just drags so fucking bad. Even into the third act, even like the final scene at the carnival, like the whole set piece there, like it just was like, it was overlong. It just felt like it just was going on for too long.
It was overlong. It also didn't feel like to me that it had a lot of impact. Like I said earlier on, like, there wasn't that one action scene. And I guess this is just me, because we're so used to seeing these things in every one of them, that there's like this awesome climactic battle between the hero and the villain. And in this movie, it was a little bit different than that. And it didn't really necessarily work all the way for me, but I did like seeing all of the
I just wanted to add in there, I think even that whole thing, there's no tension, there's no stakes or anything to that whole final battle. Like, literally the whole thing, because you've had like an hour of movie now where Thad does legitimately fucking nothing. So by the time you get to like the final battle, I'm checked out of it. I'm like, look, dude, you're clearly not that interested in doing this shit, so fuck off. It's predicated upon the stupidity of the antagonist let the good guys succeed. It's not like through their own sheer ineptitude and inability or unwillingness to actually do something anything, the good guys triumph. It's a problem with the script. It's not because the heroes overcame adversity. It's because the bad guys didn't care enough and just didn't they just don't fucking care. And I hate when movies do that. It's so fucking lazy.
Maybe this will be a problem that will be fixed in the sequel, which I think will happen because this is a crowd pleaser for sure. I think this.
I hope it does. Personally, I hope it does. Money. I feel like this is a franchise that I'll look forward to.
I want to get our The Rock as Black Adam versus Shazam movie.
I think it'll happen. I think it was supposed to happen originally. Dwayne Johnson produced this movie. He was set to be Black Adam.
We were supposed to originally get Black Adam. Like, the way that DCU's fucking plans have changed is ridiculous, but... Like we were,
yeah, I think at one point we were supposed to get the Black Adam movie before we got the Shazam.
I don't even care. I don't even care anymore if these movies connect. I didn't even care if they were like mentioning things in this movie. Like, as long as the movies...
This is how movies should connect, though, because you clearly... There's references to it. You see references to it, but it's not focused on. It's not anything that they fucking dwell on forever or have entire scenes.
This isn't a world-building movie to the next DC movie, and I like
that. You see, oh, the kid's wearing a... Cavill Superman shirt. Like, it's clearly that. It, you know, you see the newspaper clippings.
Nick, that's the end of it. That's our perfect segue. I'm throwing it to you, Saucy. What is your rating?
Is there anything else you want to spoil about the film quick before we rate it?
I think we've talked about the whole movie. So, there's really nothing I can possibly spoil.
He yells
spoil.
Shazam and turns into a superhero.
That's about the size of it. Yeah, that's Justin. I'm going to give Shazam a 7 out of 10. It's perfectly solid entertainment. It's a great movie for the family. I feel like it'll please a lot of demographics, small kids especially. I think this is, again, like in terms of when I was a kid, I was walk around the mall and imagine myself like as a superhero just like flying around the mall. And there's a scene in this movie that like literally had Shazam flying around the mall, and it reminded me so much of my own childhood, and it tapped into that. I didn't think it was as funny or as fresh as it could have been or needed to be, but it passed Mark Kermode's 6 laugh test, which is like the baseline for a good comedy for me. So yeah, I'm going to give Shazam a 7 out of 10 with reservations. Yeah.
Wow. 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Lowest recommend level. 6 out of 10. I agree with you. I don't think it's nearly as good as it needed to be. And like, seriously, once it hits that second hour, it just starts to drag so fucking hard. It literally is just like endlessly like, oh my God, please do something. Like, the movie just goes into idle at some point and just kind of sits there for a good long while. And you're like, is this movie going to do anything else? Like, it kind of keeps revisiting the same conflicts over and over. It's just, I think it ran out of ideas, like good ideas, somewhere around the 60 to 75 minute mark, and was like, just keep doing that for a while, and then we'll get to that ending thing we had talked about. But yeah, 6 out of 10. Justin.
Yeah, so I thought it was fun, charming, and full of heart. It was exactly what I expected it would be, and that I had hoped it would be. So nothing more, nothing less than that. A solid comic book movie. Nothing too memorable, and definitely nothing breaking the boundaries of what the genre already is at this point in time. It's no Avengers Infinity War, but it's not Green Lantern either. So it's fine. It's good. I'm rolling in with a 7 out of 10. Very much like Waysaw said. It's not anything I'm going to run out and watch again anytime soon, but you know what? I'm hopeful for a sequel because, you know what, I hope more movies like this can come out where they don't need to have that expectation to be the next Avengers or the next Iron Man, where they can just be fun, fine entertainment and you know, entertain the family. We know we're going to keep getting these things. We know comic book movies are not a thing of the past yet. No, Nick, they're not the Western yet, and I don't see them becoming that anytime soon at this point. We'll see after Infinity War and see, you know, what happens with Marvel after the fact, but 7 out of 10 for me. I like Shazam. Make sure you take your family to see this movie. It's a crowd pleaser.
Yep, you'll have a lot of fun. So, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Again, this will air as its own separate minisode sometime before the actual film comes out.
Shazam!
Nope. Still not going to happen.
So, what do I got to do? I got to be the chosen one?
Don't forget,
I got to be pure of heart, right? Pure of heart?
God damn it. Live stream for The Cure. The third annual live stream for The Cure. May 17th through the 19th, 40 hours of entertainment. Head to livestreamforthecure.com for more information. Find us all over the social media webs. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and just search for us if you want to check out more from the Epic Film Guys. For myself, for the God of Podcasting, the Sauce, this guy. The Lord Sauce. And for Justin, thank you so, so much for listening to this special minisode. And we will see you at the movies. Somebody? No?
Oh. Oh, hold on.
And we will see you.
God in heaven.
At the movies.
That may be really uncomfortable.
Shazam!
Yes.
Nope.
And I'm still waiting for that lightning bolt to hit me.
Yeah, so, I mean, all right, I'm going to get it out of the way. I'm going to get it out of the way real, real early. Hang on.
Oh,
where
no.
is it?
Oh, no.
No! Wrong! Now shut the fuck up and let me do my
shut
job!
Now I'm gonna say this with the caveat that I'm gonna rate this film positively at the end of the day. I'm gonna recommend it, and I'm gonna give it a pretty good score, in fact. But there is one thing about this movie that I feel like is the linchpin to whether or not this movie works conceptually as a movie. And no, it's not the fact that a kid says Shazam and turns into a superhero. Like, I get it, it's whatever, it's a comic book movie. But I have huge problems with the fact that Asher Angel, who plays the normal, you know, teenage Billy Batson, and Zachary Levi, who plays Shazam, have exactly the opposite personalities. Why is, like, Billy Batson is, like, this really reserved, like, quiet kid? Like, he's really, like life's put him through the ringer. Like, the kid's had a pretty fucked up childhood, for all things considered. We'll talk about some of that, I'm sure, as we get through the review. But he's kind of quiet, he's kind of reserved. And then when he becomes a superhero, his personality changes on a fucking dime. Legitimately on a fucking dime.
Because he's a superhero.
He's a superhero.
I don't care that he's a fucking superhero, but at the end of the movie, there are other people that get the same powers that Shazam has, because they're, you know, all the Council of Wizards or whatever. They still have the same fucking personalities. And that was for me where it really broke. No, I'm sorry, but I can't conceptually wrap my head around it. If they're the same character, then they should have the same fucking personality. Like, obviously, he should be, like, super, like, oh, I'm a superhero. I love Zachary Levi's performance in the film.
He does kind of have that reaction.
I think he's great in that, but the kid does not. The kid, every time he's the kid, and even after he becomes Shazam, he still doesn't act like Zachary Levi does. He does not have the same personality. It doesn't fucking gel for me. Like, they feel like they're two different characters instead of the same character just transforming from one to the other. And that's a huge fucking logistical problem for me, because they're supposed to feel like they're the same character. And they don't.
But Nick, what's the one thing about superheroes? That they have an alter ego. And
but
maybe
they're still
that was
the same
their way
fucking
of doing
character.
It.
You can still track that they're the same fucking character.
Yeah,
this
but when
kid
Batman's in the Batman
like
costume, he's not acting like Bruce Wayne. And when Superman, he's not acting like Clark Kent,
and
vice versa.
I'm not talking about acting. I'm talking about personality. I'm talking about just kind of the underlying just character traits, like, overall. And I do not get.
Well, can you provide
whatsoever.
Some examples, Nick?
Just the kid is does not have that super wide-eyed, like, all like he's super chatty, super fun, super talkative kind of thing. Like when he talks to Freddy, when he's just a normal kid. Freddy, whom I love, by the way, because he's like the DCEU fanboy that I am and wears all the superhero shirts. He has the Superman memorabilia. I won't spoil what it is, but it doesn't really matter. When he's the kid, he's quiet. He's more reserved. He's not outwardly whatever. And then when he's Shazam, he's not like that. And I don't feel traces of one personality in the other. And I feel like that's a huge misstep. I feel like the film needed to do better at matching the two of them to make... They're supposed to be the same fucking character. In the end, yes, they have alter egos. Yes, one is a superhero version of the other kid, but it doesn't track for me. He becomes... When Zachary Levi comes into the picture, Levy, whatever, comes into the picture, his personality completely fucking changes. And I just don't... It just doesn't... Whatever. I'm done talking about it.
That's a fair criticism.
That's a huge problem,
Mike.
I have with this movie.
I totally understand.
Hated that.
Okay, you hated that. Okay, so I was going to say, you're right with Asher. Asher's kind of like this almost emo type kid. He's kind of like really emotional.
Life's put him through the ringer. He's had a fucked up life.
But the one scene that I think that actually proves what you're saying wrong, Nick, is the opening scene where he tricks the cops into locking themselves into the pawn shop. That's definitely the same character as we see Shazam as later on. But after he gets to the foster home and everything, I see where you're coming from, because he is moody, he's quiet, he's sad, he's really trying to reach out and try and find. He's been trying to find his real mother ever since that he got separated from her when he was a young child. And that's what his whole life has been, is running away from these foster homes and everything. So yes, he's a moody, kind of quiet, like, I don't know, just not much emotion at all and not much personality at all. And I think for me, I just took it as when he gets the powers, this kid has been left his whole life without his mother. He hasn't had a father. And he probably feels alone inside. He feels like one of those kids that just wants to hide from the world. But when he has these powers, he feels important. And there's an excitement to that that probably he gets this rush from. And that's just how I figured out, like, or how I equated those powers and the personality change. But
it just didn't sell it well enough for me.
I didn't notice it, honestly, at all.
It's a relatively minor quibble, but it still angered me. So I wanted to mention it. But that doesn't... It doesn't detract from... there's a couple things. Number one, this is a really fucking fun movie. You will have an absolute blast watching this movie. I love how referential it is to the DCEU. I love that you get to see Cavill Superman in, like, newspaper clippings and stuff. There's, like, a newspaper clipping of... You can see Zod's ship in one of them. You know, he has a Batarang and everything, which isn't a spoiler, Loisos. It was in a fucking trailer. Calm down.
That's in the trailer,
don't make
me
build the wall. I'll play the clip. And I know you love it.
He really hates it.
Every time.
He really,
every
he
time
really,
I see his
really
face.
Hates it. Yeah,
but really hates it's a it. Really, really fun movie. It's really, really engaging. I want to see more. I want to see more Shazam.
You're like a mile away. I can't hear anything you're saying.
Yeah.
We're spoiling
yeah,
all
so
the best.
I said I'm not
going to
spoil
jokes.
It. Justin's well,
we
just
said,
like,
you probably didn't hear in the beginning of this episode that we said we don't give a fuck. We're giving away the whole movie.
Okay.
Man.
It'll say spoiler review.
I'm going to put the Reagan smash thing right at the beginning of the episode.
Just seems like if we're releasing this before the movie comes out, we should... Anyway, that's just me.
We're already
25 minutes into it, so...
It's
whatever.
A superhero movie. Like, listen, there's nothing about this film that unfolds any way that you don't expect it to. Really?
I would agree with that to a certain extent. Yeah, there's some surprises, which you spoiled kind of right off the bat with the reveal of multiple Shazams. But
isn't that, like,
you know,
a thing in the comics, though? I don't know if that's a thing in the comics.
Well, you know what?
It?
If anyone that's been paying attention to the news for this movie pays attention to the stuff like I do, they already revealed pictures of all those characters as action figures 2 weeks ago. So if you follow the stuff like I do, you already saw all the action figures
of all
the characters.
That was a nice surprise for me, but
I was definitely
anyway.
Surprised by it when the film happens, but, you know, it's great.
It's a fun moment. It's a great moment. But we got to talk more about the villain here, Dr. Thaddeus Sivana. Yes,
Bad.
Thaddeus. He throws his fucking brother out of a window and he falls to his death from a skyscraper. That's pretty scary.
We keep spoiling things about it, and Loisos keeps being like, man, are they just going to spoil every... Yep.
You know what? Just release the damn episode after the movies come out. There you go. Boom. Done.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to bleep it out. I'm going to bleep it. So Justin's going to be like, he beep his brother. And then we'll let you draw your own conclusion. If that was a Marvel film, they never would have shown that.
Yeah,
like, they would have implied it. Like, you would have been like, you would have seen him get picked up and heard the glass break. They never would have shown him just seriously, just straight up get hucked out the window,
fly out the fucking window. And he's not the only one that gets thrown out of a window. Some random other person or board member gets thrown out the window. Yeah. And then...
And may as well spoil this, too. Someone gets their head bitten off by one of them.
I'm going to spoil you in a fucking minute, young man. I'm going to pull my belt out and you're going to get whooped by it by daddy. You're going to get hit so hard, you're never going to want to speak again. Nick, can we talk about the cameo? Can we please talk about the spoilers? The cameo of a guy in Cavill's Superman costume that's not Cavill.
I fucking hated that.
You know what? I was equally as excited as I was sad.
No, I wasn't even excited for... Because you know what it does? You know what it says? All it says is we couldn't afford to get Henry Cavill, or he's too busy. We couldn't get Henry Cavill for one day of shooting to stand here for 4 seconds.
Or Nick, or even worse, they don't want to have Henry Cavill himself in the movie because they're still not sure if they're going to have another movie with him.
You see his picture in the fucking newspaper clippings.
Yes, but I think to have him there would be too much for the audience to go, oh, it's him.
And here's the other thing.
Like, how would... Like, but how much does he even know audience. How to find him? Like, how much does he even set that up? Like,
the reason why is because Superman would definitely... Shazam would be on Superman's radar. 100%. Superman would probably reach out to him. Because,
I fucking hated this country. I hated it. Fuck you. Don't show us a dude in a Superman costume stepping into frame.
Number one, it wasn't Cavill. Number two, the guy who they put in the suit definitely didn't fill it out as well as the rest of the people in that movie filled out their costumes. I'll say that much.
Well, yeah, that's true. And also, it kind of opens up, like, are we ever going to see, like, Superman and Shazam, like, in a film together?
Well, there
like,
was that picture. There was that picture of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Henry Cavill having, like, lunch or a drink together, like, a year ago. Like, will we ever see them together? And they obviously had a meeting about it. And so
why not just have them in the film, then?
You know what? Exactly. That's why I wanted to throw it to Nick. Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen? If you're listening to this show for the first time, you probably don't know this, but if you've been listening to us long enough, you already know that we love Cavill Superman. Boy Sauce, not as much, but me and Nick
I love Cavill as Superman.
We love his, Superman. We love him as Superman. Superman.
We're recording this 4 years, actually 4 years to the day from when we saw Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, Batman vs.
At the
Superman,
IMAX
yeah.
at the That's Smithsonian. Right. And we also did a huge Man of Steel retrospective that we released on the same day. Like, literally that day as I was driving down to, you know, come down to your place and we were going to go to movies and everything. Like, you know, it's obviously a character that is near and dear to our hearts. So it's just, it's even more
upsetting. Dude, I have the Man of Steel tattoo on my fucking arm.
They refuse to just, like, obviously, like, whatever, like, people weren't necessarily the hottest on Cavill, especially in Man of Steel, but they've definitely come around on him by now to where we've accepted that he's our Superman, and now they won't fucking do anything with him. And every time you refer to him, and especially if you just have some fucking rando show up and his chest comes into frame and it's not Cavill and you know it's not, it just pisses me off every fucking time that DC does shit like that, because they have him sitting there. He would do the role still. He would fucking do it, and they refuse to put a fucking Superman movie in production.
He takes so much pride in the role. He takes so much pride in that character. Number one. Number two, right now, based on what his shape for The Witcher, right, that he's doing, he's in better shape now than he was for Superman. He's fucking huge for that role. He would have filled that suit perfectly, and you know he would have done it. I feel like that it really comes down to, like, contractual problems or whatever, like, they're not seeing eye to eye on what's happening with the character, or, as we've heard, Warner Brothers is more interested in getting a Supergirl fucking movie off the ground than doing another Superman, which is completely asinine and ridiculous, but... Well,
but
we know it's Warner Brothers, so...
You can't Supergirl without Superman. You can't. It's kind of like doing Venom without Spider-Man. It just is stupid and
Nick, they did that last year.
Yeah, it was a giant
movie,
flaming bag
and
of
that,
shit.
And that movie made a lot of money.
Yeah, and it was a giant
and making another
flaming
one.
Bag of shit.
And I thought it was fine.
I know you
Wait,
did.
Which film?
We are Venom.
Oh, ugh.
We're done talking about
that.
Let's get the ratings on Shazam.
Reaction.
And that's all, folks.